So I'm going to start off by telling you a story. So my PowerPoint is going to come up on the screen anytime, I think. But I'll tell you a little bit of I'll give you an insight into what the story is called before it comes on the screen. And normally, when I tell this story, it's about somebody called Cuthbert. But those of you who were here maybe 3 weeks ago will remember I told a story about someone called Cuthbert then. Now, this is a different person, and for the interests of just having a bit of variation, I've changed the guy's name, all right? And I also said that hardly anybody knows anyone called Cuthbert, and then Linda told me most of her relatives are called Cuthbert. So I've changed the guy's name. Is it working? There it is, look. So I've changed his name to Cecil, all right? And Kath pointed out yesterday that Cecil is not a hard C, so it doesn't work as well. But there we are. I'd already done it, and I'd put his name in the PowerPoint, and I couldn't be bothered to change it. So we're going with Cecil, all right? So Cecil's cross confusion. I'm going to tell you a story about Cecil, okay? Now, the first time we encounter Cecil is when he was a little lad at school. Anyone here go to school? Yeah? No? Don't think anybody goes to school. I think some of you do go to school, all right? And anyway, Cecil, one of his favorite subjects was something called maths, okay? I don't know if any of you know maths. Cecil was really good at maths, all right? And he was particularly good at addition, all right? And on this one occasion, he was doing his work, and Geraint will show you now, he had this sum on his maths paper, all right? And he thought, man, this is easy. I am so good at maths, all right? And so he wrote down, the question was 2 + 2, okay? He was onto really advanced stuff. I think he was in high school. He wrote down 2 + 2. He thought, this is easy. I could do this in my sleep. It equals 5, okay? Now then, is Cecil right? Yeah. Was he right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, do you think he was right? Yeah. No, did anyone spot a problem?
No.
Well, anyway, Cecil handed this in to his teacher. Charlie, do you think he's right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he handed this in to his teacher, and anyway, his teacher gave it back to him looking like this, okay? Right, so Cecil was confused. He thought, hang on a second, I spent a lot of time. Look at my number 5, I wrote it really nicely. I take lots of care of my work. He called his teacher over and he said, excuse me, miss, why have you drawn on my work? She, what do you mean, Cecil? Well, I've got a very nice, neat piece of paper here and you've scribbled on it. I'm not very happy about that. Why have you done that? She said, oh, Cecil, I haven't drawn on your work. That cross means that you got the answer wrong because 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. Oh, goodness me, he thought. Maybe I'm not as good at maths as I thought I was. She said, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5. 2 + 2 equals?
4.
We got some very funny comedians in the house this morning who continue to say that 2 + 2 equals 5, but it doesn't. 2 + 2 equals 4. Good one. Sorry, it gets funnier all the time. Stand-up comedy at Park House this afternoon. Okay? Anyway, 2 + 2 equals 4. So Cecil learned, right, when I see a cross like that, that means you are wrong. Okay? So he remembered that. Anyway, Cecil got a bit older. He must have got a lot older because he got a girlfriend, all right? Now, none of you here are old enough for that, okay? Let's get that very clear, particularly those of you who live at Park House. But anyway, he got a girlfriend, okay? And her name was Cynthia. Now then, Cynthia was beautiful. Have you got any relatives called Cynthia? Linda? No? Okay, good. I've chosen a good name. Cynthia was his girlfriend, all right? And she was beautiful. She had lovely big blue eyes, and she was just... She had a lovely personality as well, okay? And he just got on so well with Cynthia. Everything was going so well. Anyway, one day he came home from school, and Cecil was beside himself. Came through the door. Normally, he'd tell his mum all about how his day had gone, because that's what children do. But this occasion, he didn't. He came through the door. He ran straight up to his bedroom, okay? And he shut the door behind him, and his mum could hear him sobbing his heart out. And she thought, well, what's going on here? And she went and she knocked on the door. and says, go away, go away. I'm going to move this table before I trip over it. Lovely flowers, though, thank you. Go away, go away, he said. What's the matter, Cecil? No, go away, go away. Cecil, please, what is it? It's Cynthia. Well, what's happened? Everything was going so well with Cynthia. She hates me. What do you mean she hates you? She told me she hates me. Well, come on, Cecil, there must be an answer. Like, she sent me a letter saying she hates me. Anyway, his mum managed to get in the room, and we have got a copy of the letter here that we can see. So here it was, look. It says, to Cecil. We can't see the detail because it was too private, okay? She was basically telling him all these wonderful things about him, okay? And then she wrote at the bottom, love from, so he says, to Cecil. Look, she's wrote me love from Cynthia. And then she's put, you're wrong. Beside himself. Anyway, his mum put her arm around him and she said, Cecil, you've misunderstood. That doesn't mean you're wrong. On this occasion, when you see a cross on your paper like that, that means I love you. That cross means I love you. Cynthia isn't telling you you're wrong at all. She's not saying I made all that stuff up. She's saying, Cecil, you're the best. I love you. Well, goodness me, you can imagine what happened to Cecil's face. His despair turned to joy. He couldn't believe it. He was so happy that actually Cynthia hadn't told him she hated him. So Cecil came to understand that sometimes when you see a cross, it means I love you. Anyway, a little bit after that, Cecil, he was, maybe he had gone to high school by this point, and he was in PE, all right? And the PE teacher said, today, children, we're going to do orienteering. Has anyone ever been orienteering? You know what that means? No? Orienteering, anyone know what that means? Math, do you know? Exactly, that is exactly it, all right? Good lad. Well done. Okay, so basically, the teacher said, I'm going to give you a map, all right? And your job is to try and follow the map and find different locations on the map, all right? It's called orienteering. Do they still do that in school? You do that math? We did it when I was in school. Sorry, I should let you answer. You go on trips. Good, okay. Well, Cecil was doing orienteering, all right? And the teacher gave them the map, all right? And we can see the map now. Here is the map, all right? I don't know where they were, but basically there was a boat place there, the trees. And anyway, he was confused now, Cecil. So he put his hand up. He called the teacher over. He said, sir, can you just clarify something for me? Have I got the wrong map? Or are you telling me you love me? What do you mean, Cecil? Teacher said. Well, he said, I've come to understand that this symbol means two different things. It either means you're wrong, so you've given me the wrong map, or it means I love you. So that's a bit weird. Which one is it? So anyway, Mr. Phillips, all right? Mr. Phillips, because that's his name, said to Cecil, Cecil, look, I'm going to have to explain to you now that on this occasion, the cross doesn't mean any of those two things. Actually, that is where you'll find the
treasure.
Thank you, Sam. A sensible answer. Good boy. Right. So, yes, X, on this occasion, when you're looking at a map, that is where you'll find the treasure. Okay, that is it. That is the destination. You follow that X, and there is some awesome treasure to be found. That is where you need to be heading to. So Cecil, all right, fantastic. That means I've got another thing to log in my brain about what this cross can sometimes mean. You can see he was getting a little bit confused, but as he went on through life, he learned that this same symbol might mean different things. Anyway, the last thing that we're going to look at for the time being, as far as Cecil's experience, was he was in the car with his mum, all right? And they were driving along, I think they were driving along through Powys, and they were going along this road, and all of a sudden, Cecil shouted, stop! Sorry, That's what he did. Anyway, it was like, his mum's like, what is the matter? What has happened? What have you seen? Are you okay, Cecil? He said, Mum, reverse. Reverse? Why? What? He said, just trust me, reverse. So she reverses, and there was this sign on the side of the road. She's like, what is the matter, Cecil? He said, have we got a spade in the boot? What do you mean, have you got a spade in the boot? He said, well, I did orienteering when I was in school, and I know what that sign means. It means that somewhere around that sign, there is some treasure to be found. So where is the spade? What are you talking about, Cecil? That is not what that sign means. That means that we're coming up to a crossroads. And that means in a moment, I'm going to have to decide whether to carry on going along this road or whether to turn off onto a different road. There is no treasure here. Put your spade away. Get back in the car. You strange boy. All right? Anyway, so Cecil understood that there were all of these different meanings for the same symbol. All right? He's kept on seeing crosses in his life, and each time he saw a cross, it meant something different. But then he went along to a Easter service at Newtown Evangelical Church. And it was there that he came across another cross. And it was this one. And the person who was speaking at the service was saying how this cross meant all of those things that he had learned through his childhood. This cross meant, firstly, that you're wrong. But it also meant that Jesus loves you. He then learned that actually, when you come to know that, there is incredible treasure to be found. But it also means that Cecil had a decision to make. Did he want to carry on the way that he was, or did he want to change direction? Okay, so that is Cecil's story. How Cecil got a bit confused, but he came to see that this cross means all of those things. So what we're going to do now is we're going to stand up and we're going to sing together, and then after that, we're going to look at those different things briefly, one by one, and just see a little bit more what Cecil found out about those different four meanings, all right? So we're going to stand and we're going to sing Jesus Strong Hope, but I need... we're going to play it on the piano, yeah, but I need some help. So children who know the actions, because there's actions to this, can you come up and join me? Yeah? Not all at once. Yeah? Come on then, Charlie, good boy, you come. Come on then. Oh, what a drag. But Charlie needs some help as well. Come on. Come on. Abby, Eva, come on. Come and stand by here, Charlie. Come on, Lydia, good girl. Come on, girls. Come and join us. We can all stand up and you can all copy the children because they know the actions. We're waiting for the words, though. Thank you. Great job, Charlie. Can we give him a little round of applause? I think they did really well there. I know it was a drag, Charlie, but thank you for putting yourself out, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one. Okay, great. So then, we're going to just look at those four things that Cecil found out that the cross of Jesus Christ means. The first thing was this. Okay, so if you remember, what was the first... Well, who can remember what the first thing was? What was the first thing that the cross means? You're wrong. Correct. The first thing is that you are wrong. Now then, put the next slide on, please, Gare. Because, I don't know if you noticed, but we live in a world which is broken, isn't it? Probably, if you're little children, you don't watch the news. I hope you don't watch it too often because it's pretty depressing. But I'm sure you hear about things that are going on in the world. Those of us who are grown-ups, watching the news is a really sad thing to do. We like to keep up to speed with what's happening in the world, but it's really, really sad. There are wars going on. Have you heard about wars that are going on? What a sad world to live in, where people fight and there's arguing. And it's not just countries fighting, is it? It's people who fight. Even people within the same families fight. There is illness. Who knows who that is in the middle picture? Can anyone tell me who that is? A princess. What's her name, do you remember? No. Okay, can anyone help Abby out? Kate, yeah, Princess Kate or Princess Catherine. Okay, so this week we had some really sad news that she announced, where Princess Catherine has been diagnosed with something called cancer. And what a horrible thing that is. What a broken world we live in. But I'm sure you know people who have had really difficult illnesses and really sad things happen. Our world is broken. And then on the right-hand side there, you can see somebody looking really sad. All right? I think that's somebody from a film. What film's that from? Anyone know? What? Inside Out, is that right? I got no idea. There we are. And I haven't got any sweets to give you. I meant to have some sweets, but there we are. Ollie, what do you want to say? Kate?
No.
Charlie?
Smurf.
Smurf?
Yeah!
All right then, good boy.
That's
good boy, thank you. So that good announcement from Charlie. I don't think it is a Smurf, but I know what you mean. Smurfs are also blue. There's lots of sadness, isn't there? And maybe you feel sad today, but we've got a world which is broken. But actually, the Bible says, and this is what Cecil heard, that it's not just things out there that are broken. Not just out there where there's a problem. Actually, things aren't as they should be inside our own hearts, are they? And actually, the Bible says that everybody has this problem. And this is what Cecil heard when he went along to this church. He heard that the cross of Jesus Christ means that everybody has got a problem. Put the next verse up, please, Geraint, because this is what it says in the Bible. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, all people have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. So that word all, that includes everybody. All right? So if you are here today, that includes you, because you are part of all. You are part of all people. And the Bible says, actually, that there's something inside you that is wrong. That is wrong. You might be thinking, I'm not that bad. I don't do really bad stuff. I might do little sins, but I'm not that bad. Well, put the next one up, please, Gare, because listen to this. There's a guy called Paul who wrote like a lot of books in the New Testament. A lot of the New Testament of the Bible was written by this guy called Paul, and he was writing to a church in Rome, and he was telling them about some of the things that that show that our hearts are wrong, the different things that we do that show that our hearts are wrong, all right? Listen to this. This is what Paul said. See whether you can find yourself in here. It says, they are filled with every kind of sin, evil, selfishness and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst about each other. They gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude and conceited, and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They do not obey their parents. Okay, now then, I wonder if you saw yourself there. There's all this list. There's murder. There is fighting. Okay, maybe you're thinking, I haven't murdered anybody, but I don't think there's anybody here who can say that they are not on that list at all. I bet you weren't expecting to see they do not obey their parents on that list, were you? Is there anybody here who has always obeyed their parents? Anybody? Right, there is nobody. I don't think that's true. There is nobody here who can say they have always obeyed their parents. So that means that Paul was talking about you when he said there's a problem in the world, and it's not just out there. It's not just Vladimir Putin and people in Gaza and Israel that have got the problem. It's inside here. But Paul said, and it shows in ways like telling lies and disobeying your parents. That includes all of us, okay? So the first thing that Cecil learned that the cross of Jesus Christ means is that you are wrong. But the second thing was, who can remember what the second thing was? Can anyone remember? Let's have it over there. Lydia. Love. Yeah. It means I love you. So Jesus is saying, when you look at his cross, he is saying, I love you. All right? Now, despite how wrong we are, because hopefully you've understood after that first thing that Cecil learned, that you are wrong. Hopefully you've understood that. But isn't it incredible how, despite how wrong we are, how God is so kind to us, isn't he? There's just so many wonderful things that we enjoy. Now, if you could put the next slide up, Geraint, I wonder if there's any of these things that you enjoy. These are things that I enjoy, all right? And I wonder whether they're things that you enjoy as well. Top left, anybody here like food? Yeah? Charlie, I enjoy food as well. It's interesting how none of the adults like food. I don't think that's true. I think you're not being honest with me because I think most of us love food, all right? There's a lovely roast dinner there. Are we having a roast dinner today? Oh, fantastic. I love roast dinners. That's great news. But God gives us so much food. There's so much variety to enjoy. Even though we're so wrong, he's given us so much lovely food. It doesn't just happen. God provides it. That second picture there, I don't know if you know what that represents. That person there is breathing. Okay? Anybody here like breathing? Yeah, there's some of you are kind of, all right. Some of you are like, no, not really. But let me tell you, whether you know it or not, you do. You enjoy breathing because you keep doing it, all right? If you don't enjoy it, feel free to stop. Anyway, I wonder if you realize that actually every time you take a breath, that is a gift from God. That is a gift. He is giving you the air that you need to breathe. Fantastic. Little diversion. I think I said this last time I did a family service, but trees, okay, they love carbon dioxide, and they breathe that in, and they breathe out oxygen, all right? And do you know what we need? Oxygen. And do you know what we breathe out? Carbon dioxide. Now, that is incredible, all right? If you think that's an accident, well, I can't help you, all right? That is ridiculous, okay? That is just a little tiny detail of how God is kind to you. Created wonderful things like that to give you the air that you need to breathe, okay? The next thing, family, friends, relationships. Who enjoys having friends and family? Yeah? Yeah, some of us. Some of us, not so much. Yeah, Alice isn't sure, but yes, you do. Great. You enjoy it as well. You and Evelyn, yeah, it's great. She's your cousin. Fantastic. Great. So God gives us all of these things. We've got so many good things to enjoy, relationships, friendships. And then in the bottom corner, I believe, supposedly, that is somewhere near here, all right? Just green loveliness, all right? What a wonderful creation God has given us. Every time, today's a nice day to check this out, all right? If you're unsure as to how kind God has been, just have a look around you. Look at the beauty that you can see. The rolling hills of Mid Wales, all right? It didn't just happen. God has put it there for you to enjoy. He is kind. God is kind. But the most incredible way, so those are all ways that God shows his love to us every day, whether you acknowledge it or not. But there is one supreme way that God has shown his love for us. If you put the next slide up, Geraint. Okay, so even though you have been so wrong, even though you have failed to live up to the standard that God requires, you've even, if you're honest, you've even failed to live up to your own standard. Right? There are standards you set yourself, and you don't even meet those. We're honest. But God's standard is so much higher than that. You have failed to meet that standard. But actually, God has offered you forgiveness. A wonderful thing. God, through the cross of Jesus Christ, shows you that forgiveness is available to you. Look at that verse. It said, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son." God gave his son so that whoever believes in him may not be lost, but have eternal life. See, God sent his son to take the punishment that we deserve on that cross. So all of those things that you're ashamed of, I don't want you to come and tell me about them. No need to go to a confessional booth. No, God knows all about them. You know all about them. All those things you're ashamed of, he came to take the punishment for it all, so that you and I can be forgiven, so that you don't need to be lost, that verse says, so that you can have eternal life. Well, that's amazing. Let me tell you, that is love. That is love. There is no greater expression of love that you will ever come across, right? You might think that somebody loves you, and I'm sure they do, but they don't love you that much that they would do something like this for you. The cross says, yes, number one, you are wrong. But wonderfully, the cross says, Jesus is saying, I love you. I love you. Okay? Now, we'll sing again, and then we'll look at the final two things. But we're going to sing another song the children know well. It's going to come up on the system. It's called Jesus, When You Died. Is there an action for this? Not really. It's not the one where we go like that, is it?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's like that, Charlie, yeah? You can come here if you want, Charlie. Sorry, you don't have to. All right, anyway, are we good to go? All right, then. We'll stand again. We'll sing this together.
You did not deserve.
Very skillful fading there from our DJ at the back. Thank you, Geraint. Oh, Phil. Great. Okay, then. So, we've learned that the cross of Jesus means that you are wrong. That it means, I love you. Okay? So, anybody remember what the third thing was? Matthew. It was the treasure. Good boy. I love how itching your chin helps your memory. It's amazing. It used to work for me as well. But there we are. Anyway, the next thing means that if God loves us so much, even though we have been so wrong, it means there is wonderful treasure to be found. Now, put the next slide up, okay? I wonder what kind of things you treasure. I wonder what it is that is really important to you, what things you really love in your life. Put some pictures up of things that maybe people enjoy. Does anybody like riding their bike? Yeah? Yeah, John Perkins, that's because you've got an electric bike, John. That's cheating. Yeah. Riding bikes or doing using things like that. Maybe some of you have got like scooters or what's that new thing you got called, Ev? Or you want? Tom Scott. What is it? Is Tom Scott here? A plasterboard. A casterboard. All right. If you're thinking, what the heck is that? I don't know. I can't. Basically, it's a bit like a scooter and a skateboard and everything rolled into one. Okay. Evan's getting quite good at it. Maybe you enjoy stuff like that. Or maybe you like playing on your games console. Anybody like playing on their games console? Very honest. Joseph, Matthew, well done. Do you like playing on your games console, Fionn? Yeah? You like playing on your Xbox or your PlayStation or your Wii Switch? Is it a Wii Switch? Yeah? Not Nintendo Switch. Yeah, look at that. Totally out of touch. Not down with the kids at all. It's a Nintendo Switch. You enjoy that, okay? I know my children enjoy that. I have to put restrictions on the amount of time they can have on their games consoles, all right? Maybe some of you, getting a little bit older, or maybe some of you older ones enjoy your Xbox too, but maybe you're more concerned with money. Maybe you enjoy having money in your bank account and you love checking that statement as it goes up, or you don't like looking at your statement because it's gone down. Maybe that is what you treasure. Or I've got a picture there of a house. I won't say whether it belongs to anybody in this congregation. No, it doesn't. Maybe you've got a swimming pool in your back garden like that and you love your home. Maybe you haven't got a swimming pool and you still love your home. And that is your treasure. That is where you put your heart. Those are the things that you love. And there'll be loads of other things that you can put into that, I'm sure. I can't mention everything that people treasure. But here's the thing. Jesus says that there's one problem with all of those things. All of those things that you treasure. There's a problem with them. And that is that they are all very short-lived. All right? Your bike that you've got, it'll soon get rusty, or your mates will have a better one, and all of a sudden, it hasn't got the latest suspension, and you look totally out of date, and you need a new bike. Or the Xbox, actually, there's a new one now, or actually, it's not quite as cool to play it as it was, or you get bored of it, or money. It's short-lived, isn't it? I mean, some people get really, really rich, and then they lose it all, or it makes them miserable, or actually, regardless of whether they lose it all or whether they get miserable, when they die, how much of their money can they take with them? None. Now, the interesting thing this week, and I don't want to make light of this, was that actually we had somebody who is supremely rich on the TV, being very honest, and it was really heartfelt and lovely to see Princess Catherine talk about her illness. But here's the thing. There might be somebody who lives next door to you who's also got cancer, and they might have no money. But both of them at some point, whether it's in a few months or lots of years, both of them will die, and then they're in exactly the same position. Princess Catherine has no benefit of her riches when she dies. The truth of it, isn't it? So Jesus says that all of these things that we have on earth, actually, they've all got the same problem. They're short-lived. They won't go with you anywhere. So look at this verse from Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this, "Don't store treasures for yourselves here on earth. Don't put too much value on all of these things that you can have here on earth, because moths and rust will destroy treasures here on earth, and thieves can break into your house and steal the things that you have." So this is what Jesus says you should do. So store your treasure in heaven. The treasures in heaven cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and thieves cannot break in and steal that treasure. Now, here's the thing. Jesus came so that you can enjoy life as it is meant to be. The cross of Jesus Christ says, "I have come to give you life. I've come to give you treasure." You can be free from living a life of guilt and shame. You can be free to live a life which is full of relationship with the God who made you. You can have all of those things now. But even as if that wasn't good enough, actually you have forever to look forward to with him in a wonderful place the Bible calls heaven. All right, so when you die and all your money gets taken away, what happens then? Well, actually Jesus says, if you trust in me, I'll say, come home. Come home. Come and be with me forever in heaven. That is treasure that nobody can take away. That is treasure that never goes out of date. You don't need to worry about the exchange rates plummeting with that kind of treasure. The cross means, thirdly, that the most wonderful treasure is available to us all. But there's one more thing as we draw to a close. Can anyone remember the final thing that Jesus' cross means? Anybody else? Come on, Abby. Crossroads, yeah. It means that there is a decision to be made. It means that it's decision time, okay? So the cross means that you're wrong. It means I love you. It means that there is treasure to be found. But it means that there is a decision that we must make. Now, you might notice, as we read a few minutes ago, John chapter 3, verse 16, you might notice that it didn't say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone would not be lost but have eternal life." That's not what it said. I changed it there, didn't I? It doesn't say that. It says, no. It says, so that whoever believes in him would not be lost but have eternal life. There's something that we need to do in response. He's given you an ability to think. He hasn't made you a robot. He hasn't programmed you to have to love him, to have to respond to him in the way that you should. You have an ability to make a decision, and you can choose to ignore him, to live your life without him. And actually, for lots of us, that's what we've been doing, isn't it? Actually, for all of us, that's how we were. But actually, there's a decision that we need to make. Now, let's just put the next slide up, because there's lots of decisions that we have to make in life, aren't there? Some of them are less important, okay? So some of you might have big decisions like this, choosing what ice cream flavor to have. Anyone go on the trip to Newquay last July? We sometimes go to Newquay. We're going to do that again this year. One of the highlights for me is going up the hill to the ice cream shop. But it's a nightmare because I've never seen an ice cream shop with so many flavors to choose from. And you're like, you think you've got it because you've chosen the Biscoff one, but then you see that they've got that, what's it called? Kinder Bueno. They've got Kinder Bueno ice cream. You're like, man, I thought Biscoff was the one, and now it's Kinder Bueno. So what a tough decision to make. What, anyone got a favorite ice cream flavor? Cream egg. Okay, Lydia. Cookie dough, it's a good one. Yeah, Ben and Jerry's, yeah? Yeah, good. Go on. Chocolate, straightforward, simple. There's always been chocolate. There hasn't always been Kinder Bueno, Evan. Eat and Mess ice cream, really? Wow, I bet that must be good. That must be good. Anyway, we need to move on. On the middle there, right? Who likes their Sunday dinner without gravy? Really? Such people exist. There we are. Well, there we are. There's a decision to make maybe later today as to whether or not to put gravy on your dinner. Pity us having to make such big decisions. And then later on this year, some of us who are over 18 will have a decision to make at the ballot box. We've got to decide which ineffective government to put in place. Okay? What a wonderful decision it is we have to make, all these decisions. But none of those decisions really matter, do they? None of them really, really matter. Let's have a look at the next slide, because the cross of Jesus Christ means that we're something of a crossroads. See, we have been naturally living our lives in a way that ignores God, that pushes him to the side, that actually takes all of the good things that we looked at earlier on and enjoys them all, but actually doesn't really even tip our hat to him. Perhaps we've been living our lives in a way which even tries to convince ourselves that God doesn't even exist. Now, this morning, we need to make a decision as to whether to carry on that road, or whether we're going to leave this building heading in a different direction. That's the decision. Now put it the next slide on, please. Yeah, because Jesus puts it this way, and he uses a slightly different picture. He talks about gates. He talks about two different gates. Imagine these two gates are before you this morning, and you've got to decide which one of these gates you want to walk through. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. So it's not a problem. It's very easy to go through that gate. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it, what Jesus says. Only a few find it. Very easy this morning to walk and carry on going down the broad road. That's the road you've already been on, haven't believed and trusted in Jesus. It's very easy to carry on doing that. Just do nothing. Just carry on. But realize that you are making a decision. You are deciding to shut God out, to ignore him, to carry on having the penalty of your own sin landed on yourself. All right, but Jesus says, you don't have to do that. I'll take it for you. Enter through the narrow gate, because that leads to life. And at the entrance of that narrow gate, Jesus is stood there with his arms open wide, and he says, I'll take all of that sin. I'll take all of that guilt. I'll take all of that shame. I've paid for it already on the cross. You don't need to have it anymore. That's what the cross means. The cross means that you are wrong. But it means that in spite of your sin, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to put it right. He offers you the most incredible treasure that you could ever imagine. Treasure that lasts forever. But it is decision time. Whoever believes in him will not be lost, but will have eternal life. Will you carry on along that road to destruction? Or this Easter, will you turn to Jesus and take the road that leads to life in him? Well, it's my prayer that you will do that, that you'll put your trust in Jesus, that you'll accept that amazing treasure, that gift that he offers this Easter. And that will, let me tell you, it'll be the best Easter you've ever had. There's no greater thing that you can come to know. Let me just say, if you want to chat about any of that afterwards at all, please, there's nothing I would rather do, or anyone else who who comes to this church, and nothing we would rather do than talk to you about how it is that you can be sure that your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Let me pray, and then we'll sing. Father God, we thank you for all these different things that the cross of Jesus Christ means. Lord, we thank you that despite how wrong we have been, you've loved us so much that you've sent your Son to make it possible for us to be forgiven, to have a relationship with you. We thank you for the treasure that is found in Jesus. And we pray that you would help each of us to be sure that we have put our trust in Jesus, that we've entered through that narrow gate. We ask this in his wonderful name. Amen.